Grace and peace be yours in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The text for our sermon this morning is our Old Testament lesson, Isaiah chapter 40. And I want to talk about that chapter, but I want us to know some things about Isaiah, the man and the book. It's a delightful book of the Bible. I'm not the first to say this. You'll hear other commentators say it, that Isaiah is often described as a mini Bible. The book of Isaiah as a mini Bible itself. And here's what commentators mean. How many books are in the Bible? 66 books. How many chapters are in Isaiah? 66 chapters. And there's many parallels. I want to talk about some as we go. Now, when we talk about anything from the Old Testament, everyone here knows the Bible is Old Testament and New Testament, right? The Old Covenant and the New Covenant, Jesus the Savior. Now, here's the other thing that happens. As Lutherans, we also say that the Bible is both law and gospel. And sometimes people make a mistake by attaching those things. They say if the Bible is both Old Testament and New Testament, and then it's also both law and gospel, they think, well, maybe the Old Testament is all law and the New Testament is all gospel. And I want you to know that is not correct. Not correct. Don't simplify it like that. The Old Testament contains what? Both law and gospel. And the New Testament contains both law and gospel. The law of God, where he gives us his instructions. This is what holy living looks like. This is what I expect of you. The gospel, the sweet and wonderful promise of forgiveness in the Savior, that you don't save yourself, that it is given to you as a free gift. Both of those are in both the Old and the New Testament. Now, having said that, here's a funny part you've probably noticed. If you read the Old Testament, it is, in fact, a lot rougher. It's not that the Old Testament is only law, but what's in the Old Testament. It feels like a lot of judgment and wrath, doesn't it? The Old Testament has a lot of wars and enemies and oppression of God's people. Kingdoms rise and fall. There's some good rulers. There's a lot of unjust rulers. Some parts of the Old Testament have religious commandments that don't apply to you as a New Testament believer. So I get it. The Old Testament has both law and gospel. But sometimes people read the Old Testament and think, wow, that's kind of tough. I want us to get something. The Old Testament is tough. But please notice the word of promise is always in there. The first promise of a Savior happens as far back as Genesis chapter 3, and over centuries and centuries, the prophets tell you more and more. There's all the suffering and the difficulty of the Old Testament and that little glimmer of hope in the Old Testament. Now, why is that? Here's what I think about it. Sometimes I think God is saying to us that life can be kind of Old Testament-y. You know what I mean? Your life, individual life, can feel kind of Old Testament-y. Lord, there's a lot of suffering. And that's true. But keep your eye on the word of promise. I said Isaiah is a mini Bible, 66 books, 66 chapters. Here's the fun part to notice. How many books of the Bible are in the Old Testament? 39. 27 in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, 39 books. In Isaiah, the first 39 chapters are in fact very Old Testament-y. Kingdoms rise and fall, the people of God suffer. In Isaiah 40, it switches on a dime. And it switches just like the New Testament switches. The Old Testament and all the tough parts of it. Isn't it wonderful when you turn the page in your New Testament? There's a total different mood about it, right? There's a feeling, there's a different spirit about the New Testament, like something new has come. Matthew chapter 1, the birth of Jesus the Christ took place like this. And you're like, oh, this is going to be nice. There are some tough parts of the New Testament, but it's mostly Jesus and grace. And I want us to hear this. If there's 39 Old Testament books, Isaiah has 39 Old Testament-y chapters, and Isaiah 40, I'm going to read it from my Bible because in the bulletin we started at verse 21. I want to read Isaiah 40, verse 1. All the suffering, all the difficulty, he switches to this. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. You kind of exhale, like, oh, good. Isaiah 40, verse 2. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for. Do you hear that? That is the difference that Jesus makes. Your sins are covered. Isaiah 40, verse 3. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. That's Isaiah. Who's he talking about? John the Baptist. Prepare the way for the Lord. John the Baptist comes. It's not that he's the answer. He prepares the way for another, and that man will not be a prophet, but will be the Lord himself, Jesus. You see the switch in Isaiah? Isaiah 40, verse 10. Behold, your God comes with power. It's a wonderful chapter of the Bible. Wonderful chapter. Isaiah's mini Bible has switched to a New Testament-y feel. Isaiah 40, verse 1, when it says, comfort my people, the Hebrew word there means to console, and in particular, it means the way a mother consoles her child. Your God comforts you like a mother quieting a baby. It's a wonderful image. From Isaiah 40 on, he will talk more and more about the Savior. Isaiah 42, God says, here is my servant. I will put my spirit on him. That's Jesus again. Isaiah 49, in the mind of Jesus, before I was born, the Lord called me. He says, I will make you a light to the Gentiles. Isaiah 53, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. Jesus, the Savior, shining in Isaiah. So what did he say in Isaiah? What did he say in the reading that we printed in the bulletin? I love that Isaiah 40, 21, all the things that go on in the Bible, he starts with two questions. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Do you not know, church? Have you not heard? What's the answer? Yes, you've heard the word of the Lord. God has spoken and you've heard it. I love that he asks, haven't you heard? Don't you know? This fun little piece from this text. We often talk about faith in the heart, that's correct. But the Bible often describes that one of the instruments of faith is this. Hear. Hear the word of the Lord. The prophets speak and they say, thus saith the Lord. If a word is spoken, what are you supposed to do? Listen. Listen. And so he says, to turn to God in verse 22, God sits enthroned above the circle of the earth. I do love this. It does say circle. The Hebrew word doesn't mean anything fancier than circle. I want to point this out. Nobody in the ancient world believed in a flat earth. Maybe that seems like a minor point, but I just always feel like I have to correct that. That is a modern lie. We like to make it seem like old people were simpler than us. They did not think the earth was flat. They were not flat earthers. It says that God sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and he has stretched out the heavens like a canopy, and he has flung the stars to where they are. That's your God. The Bible doesn't say you won't have problems. The Bible does say your God is bigger, right? God is greater. By the way, I'll make one other quick aside. When he talks about the stars and all the heavenly hosts, as Christians, we love science. We want to learn and know more about the cosmos, the complexity of it, the beauty of it. Another modern lie is to say faith and science contradict. Not so. The Bible says, look at the magnitude and the magnificence of it, and then say, I know the one who made this. Right? I know the one who made this. He talks about God in the heavens, and then he turns his focus to earth. Look at the princes of the earth. They're barely planted, and then they wither. Did you know it's not about men? It's not about this man or that man and who leads us and who takes that. It's not about that. It's about your God. And so he says it in verse 28 again. He repeats. You see it in verse 28? Do you not know? Have you not heard? Do you not know, church? Have you not heard about this God, about what he does in Jesus? He wants you to hear. He wants you to listen. By the way, when the Bible says hear, it does not mean just sound waves striking your eardrum. It means to hear and to imbibe it, to take it down into the soul. A favorite passage of mine is Jeremiah 36, where a king gets it wrong. Jehoiakim is an ungodly king, and God, through Jeremiah, decides to send a message to his king. And Jeremiah sends his secretary, Baruch, to read that message. He literally writes it down, take this to the king. And as the king listens to it, he takes each individual sheet, he slices it up with a knife, and he throws it into a fire. Not listening. To hear is to rightly hear the word of God, to really hear the word of God, to imbibe it, to take it down into ourselves. The Bible says it 100 times, if it says it once, hear the word of the Lord. What are we here to do as a church gathered? To hear. God has spoken, and he has spoken the word of Christ, the Savior. Isaiah said a lot about it, and all the prophets said more until he came, and now we have the Old and the New Testament. And all that Christ has done and said for you, his cross especially and his resurrection, the punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Hear the word of the Lord. Amen. And we stand together. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds with Christ Jesus your Lord. Amen.